Welcome to the podcast of Grace Community Bible Church. We hope and pray that you are blessed, challenged, and inspired by this message. For other sermons or more information, visit us at gracebiblechurch.org.au.
I have a young Christian brother living in what is now known as North Macedonia. And he recently posted on his Facebook site a quotation from that Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The quote was this: "He who has gone to heaven and to prepare a place for us will not leave us without provision for the journey. He who has gone to prepare heaven for us will not leave us without provision for the journey there." When I read those words, I couldn't help but see in these words of Spurgeon the link in the Lord's Prayer where we move from the three your petitions, that is, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, to the three us petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. And lead us not into temptation. Now, as I've said in previous messages, the immediate concern of this prayer is the glory of God, the hallowing of His name, the coming of His kingdom, the doing of His will. These things must be considered and desired before our own personal concerns or interests are mentioned. The first passion of prayer surely is for God Himself. We come before Him. We have communion with Him. We have gathered to enjoy Him and to exalt Him together. But does that mean that our Heavenly Father is not concerned about us? Has He no concern for His children? Well, not at all. Again, you hear the words of Spurgeon. He will not leave us without provision for our heavenly journey. Therefore, following words concerning the Father, Jesus now brings petitions that concern the family, the Father's family. Verse 11 of Matthew chapter 6. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, do you see what the Lord Jesus is doing here? He is exalting our daily concerns. He is encouraging us to bring those matters that challenge us to the Father. He is underlining the fact that there is nothing too ordinary. There is nothing too routine. There is nothing too common or minute for our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. He is interested in us and concerned about us. And this is illustrated surely throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. You only have to think back regarding the provision of manna for Israel in its wilderness journey. Or you look at the life of the prophet Elijah, in 1 Kings and chapter 17 and verse 4. You read these words. God says to the prophet, "You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Or you move on a little bit in that same chapter, 1 Kings 17 and verse 9. The prophet is then commanded, arise, go to Zarephath, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to feed you. God is concerned about the physical well-being of his prophet. And then when you turn to the New Testament and the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, what do we see? His compassion and his provision for the 5,000, for the 4,000, for the many individuals who came to him. And the point, therefore, is this. While it may seem strange to us, our bodies are of great importance. Because the aim of the gospel is not simply the salvation of the soul of man, but the whole of man, body, mind, and spirit. You see, the Christian faith is concerned about the totality of the person. And that's why the great aim, the great goal, the great point to which we're moving in the gospel of Christ Jesus is the resurrection of the body. So, what is involved in this fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. Well, the first thing I draw your attention to is this, the confession of our dependence upon our Heavenly Father. For what we need for life and for godliness must come from Him. And this is highlighted by that little word, give. Give us. Now, I'm going to bring to your attention four little words here. This is the first one, give. We are admitting that our Father is the source of what we need and the one to whom we are to look for the satisfaction and supply of our daily needs. We look up to Him by faith and we present our petition before Him, expecting that in His compassion and care, He will minister to us. For this little word, give, is inseparably linked to the divine readiness to gift us. My second little word, give, and then gift. And then this is the direction of our petition. We're touching the heart of God Himself. And what is God like? He is a gracious God. He is a generous God. He is a giving God who bestows upon His children what is needful and what is necessary and what is essential for our journey to heaven. And therefore, that word bread stands for all the provisions we need. Those things that are referred to in the 25th verse of this 6th chapter. For there, what does our Savior say? Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. He's concerned about our food. He's concerned about what we wear. And therefore, it was James who declares in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good gift comes from above and comes down to us from the Father of lights. Give us this day is the confession of our own poverty and of the fact that whatever bounty we may have, whatever wisdom we may possess, whatever riches we may hold, whatever peace we may enjoy, whatever graces we may display, they have all come to us as gifts of our Heavenly Father. As such, they're tokens of His grace and His goodness, and therefore we must return to Him our thanks and our prayers. Give. But why does He give? Oh yes, to satisfy us, to supply our needs. And from whence does He give? From the riches of His grace. And this is my third little word. Give, gift, grace. Out of His graciousness, He gives to us. Out of the riches of His grace, He bestows upon us what we ask for, what we need. And He does so, not only for our good, but my fourth little word, it all is to resound to His praise and glory. And so it is that we see here a relationship or a link or a connection between the very first petition of this prayer and this fourth one. You see, my thinking is this. We remember, what is the chief end of God? What is God's great divine purpose? Well, the chief end of God is His own glory, the hallowing of His name. All right then, what is the chief end of man? Let me give to you John Piper's twist on the answer. And that is, the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. So how do we glorify and enjoy Him? By looking to Him, by trusting in Him, by our confessed need of Him, and by depending upon Him and expressing our dependence by prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. So that this fourth petition is in perfect accord with the first petition. For as the Father graces us daily with His gifts that enrich us, they exalt Him. To put that another way, we hallow His name by being served by Him. Now that seems unusual to us, doesn't it? Seems strange to our ears. But this is surely the fact of Scripture. For what does the psalmist say? I'm thinking of Psalm 50 and verse 15. We are invited to call upon Me in the day of trouble. And the promise is given, I will deliver you. With the result, you shall glorify Me. Call upon Me, I'll serve you, I will deliver you, and by doing that, I will be glorified. You get the similar thinking by Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, and the second part of the 11th verse. I quote, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. God supplies the strength we need, and in ministering to us and serving us and supplying us, God is glorified. The confession of our dependency upon God, the realization of our inadequacy, drives us to pray, give us. And that redounds to the praise of His glorious grace. Thomas Watson, that Puritan, wrote at length on this prayer. And in dealing with this petition, he said this: "We must pray for temporal things for spiritual ends." We must pray for temporal things, for our bread, for what we drink, for what we wear, because they have a spiritual end. Give to us, Father, gifts from the Father, from the grace of the Father, to the glory of the Father. It is the Father giving to us which brings Him glory. And so that's why we go to Him so freely. That's why we need to go to Him so regularly. That's why we need to speak to Him about His own glory and yet about those things that we require. Because the confession of our dependency upon our Heavenly Father brings Him glory. But then let me move on, because this petition implies the contentedness with our donation from our Heavenly Father. The fact is, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 and verses 31 and 32, our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need and gives us freely what we need, and so that our response is to be joyfully, thankfully content with that allowance, with that donation, with that gift which He graciously gives to us. For once more, it is our satisfaction with our Father's gift which pleases Him and which promotes Him. So, what are we asking for? For those things, as Spurgeon drew our attention, for those things that help us on our journey to heaven. And he speaks of bread, which was part of the staple diet. And so we're being reminded here and we're being informed here that what we're asking God for are not the luxuries of life, but the essentials of life. And not for those things which will decay and grow moldy, but for those things which will never cease, never end, and never run out. In other words, this petition touches upon those fears that we entertain so frequently. The fear of an unknown tomorrow. The fear of an uncertain future. Kenneth E. Bailey, in his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, relates how this fourth petition was translated in the second century. The translation went like this: "Give us today the bread that doesn't run out." Give us today the bread that doesn't run out. And applying that petition, Billy asks questions that I'm sure are on your mind and your heart, even as I speak. Questions that are very real to us in these days in which we're living. Questions like this: what's going to happen if I lose my job? What's going to happen if the kids get sick? How are we going to survive? You see, one of the deepest and most crippling fears of the human spirit is the fear of not having enough. Not being able to continue. Not being able to go on. not having enough to eat or to drink or to wear. It is that fear linked to the future and the uncertainty about tomorrow. It's those fears that this prayer is dealing with. For the prayer is, Father, give us bread for today, and with it, the confidence that tomorrow we will also have enough. This prayer and the Lord's provision become one of faith's building blocks. For if we learn to trust Him today, if we learn to prove Him for today, if we are dependent upon what we might call Him for the basics of life today, and we see Him graciously, wonderfully supply for us today, then surely we have hope for tomorrow. And we have hope that He will supply all that we need for tomorrow, that we can expect Him to give to us in line with the prayer of the prophet Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. That we shall ask of Him for the great and mighty things which we know not. That as God answers our prayer for bread today, we are encouraged to believe that He will give us prayer and rather bread and more tomorrow. And therefore, if only we could grasp that, what peace, what quietness, what joy would flood our minds and our hearts. That our Father knows our needs and has the ability to meet our need and the compassion to give to us each day our daily bread. And He calls upon us to ask in faith, to believe without doubting, that in His wondrous way, in His mystical, magical way almost, we can say, He will supply what we need. He will supply for the smallest detail of my life. That even as I sat down this morning to have my breakfast, God was interested. He was concerned that I would have food on my table. He is compassion and He is concern, for He is our Father. A Father of such compassion and perception that the very hairs of our head are known to Him. And so He invites us to speak with Him. Psalm 81 and verse 10. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Or you think of the words of Psalm 147, where he exhorts us and He encourages us, that He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and gives all of them their name. I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about what's being said here. That within these two verses of this 147th Psalm, these two verses, 3 and 4, we have such a contrast, mercy and majesty. He knows our sighs. He knows the stars. He knows our hurts. He knows the heavens. There is sympathy here for us. There is sovereignty as well. That this is our God, that He knows the name of each of the stars, and He knows the name of each of His sheep. He knows our name. He knows our address. He knows where we live. He knows what we need. What a glorious and grand picture. And what glorious and grand promises He gives to us to hold on to memorize and to meditate upon and to bring to Him and say, Father, give to me this day our daily bread. Because what was the aged David's testimony. He records for us his words in the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37 and verse 25. He says, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. We don't have to beg the Father. He's a Father. We ask of him. So allow me to ask this. When are we to ask? Not just what, but when are we to ask? When are we to say, give us? And the answer, of course, is within the petition, within the prayer. Give us this day. This is a daily prayer. As the manna in the wilderness was given one day at a time, we are to live one day at a time. Each day, the Father delights to hear our prayer. Each day, the Father delights in our dependency. Each day, our Father delights to give out of His abundance. Each day, our Father delights in our faith in Him when we come to Him and ask of Him. I'm going back to that 147th Psalm that spoke about our size in the stars. Because in verse 10 and 11 of that Psalm, we read this, that God's delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor in the pleasures of the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him. And what does it mean to fear Him? The Psalm went on. Those who hope in His steadfast love. This is what delights our Father. Our hope in His steadfast love. You know, we used to sing an old Swedish hymn. Some of you may know it. It went like this. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what He deems best, lovingly. It's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me, He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He led. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. Day by day, give us this day. I wonder if our Heavenly Father hears from us each day. I wonder whether our Heavenly Father receives our prayers each day. Are we hallowing His name by our hope in Him, by our happiness in Him? Are we hallowing His name by asking Him each day, give us our daily bread? The confession of our dependence upon our Heavenly Father, the contentedness with our donation from our Heavenly Father. And so thirdly, the challenge to our devotion for our Heavenly Father. You see, we can ask again the question, why daily bread? Why daily bread? Why doesn't the Father do what we do? What do? We go shopping. We these days take our own shopping bags. But we go and we fill up the trolley on the basket with goods. And we go home, we store up for the coming days. We store up maybe for the week ahead, or we stack stuff in our freezer so that we've always got things that means that we don't have to go each day to the shops. Why doesn't the Father do the same? Why is it day by day? And the simple and yet stunning answer is this: because our Heavenly Father delights in our coming. He loves to have us draw near. He gave His only Son to open the way so that we would come. It was Peter who records for us in the 3rd chapter, in the 8th verse, around the 18th verse of his epistle, that Christ once suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? In order to bring us, to God. This amazing grace that our Father loves to hear our voice. He loves to feel our heart. And even though we may come with words that are stuttering and stammering, He delights in us. He loves His children. Why is it that we should pray for things that we're told that, well, He knows what we need before we ask? Then why speak with Him? Because we're not informing an ignorant God. We're having intimacy with our God and Father. It was Dr. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, that illustrated prayer in this way. I quote, he said that many of us tend to think that God as our Father gives us the great gift of grace in one lump sum, and that having received it, we just go on living on it. But Simpson said, it's not like that. That would be very dangerous for us. If God just gave us all in one lump sum, we would be in danger of enjoying the gift while forgetting all about the giver. It is, says Dr. Simpson, exactly as though a father put a great deposit for his son into the bank, and the son can only receive a supply each time by writing a check and presenting it at the bank. And it's this, he says, what the Father does for us and how the Father deals with us. He does not withhold any good thing from us, but the rule of the kingdom is, ask of me, ask of me. God is there with saving grace and sanctifying grace and serving grace and sufficient grace. Everything we need is there, but all we have to do is sign the check, as it were, and present it to the Father. Ask of me for daily bread. We go to our God and we ask Him to honor His promise. We have His promise, we have His prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And so we may think it strange, knowing our own coldness of heart and indifference of spirit. We may not fully understand it. It may be beyond our grasp, but the truth, my friends, the truth of the matter is this: God regards us, we who are His children by faith in Christ alone. He regards us as His dearly loved children who desires our company, who desires to have communion with us. And He's no longer angry with us, but He invites us to come and speak to Him, to ask Him for the very daily needs that we have. To come to Him, to learn of Him, to enjoy Him, to be satisfied with Him, to grow in grace and the knowledge of Him, to go to Him so that we can put away those anxieties that fill us by looking to Him. To put away our grumbling and our unbelief by experiencing Him. By moving away from seeing fear to focus on His glory and greatness. By looking up and seeing our God. The self-existent one, the all-sufficient one, who delights in our lisping prayers and our feeble prayers. And so my challenge to you this day, my dear friends, as it is to my own heart, is simply this. How long has it been? How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? And told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cares for you? Our concern for God is the hallowing of His name, the reverencing of who He is, His eternal worship. And so to accomplish that, to service, as it were, our concern for God, we ask Him to supply, to give us our daily bread. For again, if I may quote Piper, God is most glorified by us when we are most satisfied with Him. So my dear friends, be encouraged. Be encouraged. He who has gone to prepare heaven for us will not leave us without provision for our journey there. So today, go ahead. Ask Him. Talk to Him. Speak to Him. Unburden your heart to Him. Tell Him about your fears. Even ask Him for your daily bread. May God be pleased to bless His word to our hearts, minds, and lives this day for our good and for His glory. Amen.